Welcome to Story 49 on KNOM Radio. Story 49 is a monthly show featuring the stories of people who live in Alaska. I'm your host, Emily Benick. This month's episode features Jeremiah James of Yakutat, Alaska. I met Jeremiah at the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in October of 2013. He spent almost the entire convention in the Alaska Native Customary Art Show, within 30 feet of a table heaped with furs and skins that he had brought with him to sell. Jeremiah is a traditional Tlingit artist and works extensively with seal and sea otter pelts. Although he's modest about the degree to which he develops his skin sewing and processing techniques, he devotes a significant amount of time and energy to these skills and participates in workshops throughout Southeast Alaska. In the summer, he commercial set nets and carves in his free time. I intercepted Jeremiah just as the arts room was closing on the second day of AFN, and we sat down in the convention center as people were leaving for dinner or saving seats for Koyana night. During our conversation, Jeremiah revealed his passion for Alaska Native hunting rights and the importance of maintaining those rights. The coolest thing he's ever done in his entire life is watch his daughters grow up, and he passes his political passions and his hunting skills down to them. Here's Jeremiah.
My name's Jeremiah Charles James from Yakutat, Alaska. Kahachu huk duasak, gukuk kagwantanai hut, kluknakuti yadiaya hut. I grew up in Yakutat, Alaska. I'm 33 years old now. I've been out of the state several times, spent winters in Washington, Utah, Hawaii, but I always find myself back in Alaska. I've been hunting seals and a lot for the last 3 years, but I was hunting way before then with my uncles. We eat seals on a fairly regular basis. He eats a lot more than I do. I mean, he puts them up in jars, and he'll have 30 cases of jars in his house. The first time I remember hunting, I was 8 or 9. I was just the kid in the boat getting told what to do all the time. I would build a boat and pick up everything, you know, just the grunt. But I didn't really focus on it till I was 29.
Jeremiah has hunted a lot over the years. Moose, deer, bears, seal, sea otter, mountain goats, and goats. But seal is his favorite.
They're smart. The seal will sit there and look at you a couple hundred yards away and know what you're doing. And you have to, some seals do that, some don't know what's going on, but seals will sink, a sea otter won't sink. And so you have to think about where you shoot it at, where he's at, what kind of depth of water he's in. Is he looking at you? Is he gonna float? Is he worth shooting? Is he big enough? Does he have enough fat on him? Depends on what you're hunting for. Certain time of the year, they don't even hunt because they're going through molts. They're molting. Their hides aren't any good, and you know, we'll shoot a couple to eat, but we're not hunting for hides. And there's so much fish around that we're focusing on that. The preparation of a seal hide is a lot more meticulous than a sea otter. There's oil that comes off of it. It'll get stained. I shoot it, I gut it as fast as I can, within 10, 15 minutes, because there's usually other seals around. We're trying to get those before they're gone forever. Take its guts out, save its liver, save its heart sometimes. Put the seal liver in water and soak it out. We're gonna drag it out, and we're gonna drag the seal after we gut it to clean out the blood. Then I let it soak overnight, hanging off of the dock. That way the temperature of the meat has a time to drop and firm up, and it'll bleed out, making it a lot, in my opinion, change the taste and bleeding it out and cooling it down quick. And then it also gives time for the hide to separate from the fat, and the fat time to coagulate. And then the next day I come and skin it. I skin it right off the fat, and then I clean up the exposed parts of the meat and feed those to the birds. Then I'll clean up the rib cage, chop his head off where the blood is, the bloodshot part of him. and then I butcher them up into quarters, unless it's going to an elder, depending on the size of the animal, chop it up to where it fits in a pan, and then depending on where it's going, either I gotta drop it off to a whole bunch of people, or one person comes and gets all of it. Really depends on what the circumstances are of the day. I don't try to hunt every day, because we have to use all this meat, and then it takes me time to skin the hides, put them away, people to process the meat. I mean, I can't eat 5-6 eels at a time, nor put them in my freezer. But if you wait a week, then everybody's ready for more again, because it's gone. And just try not to burn anybody out on it. I only hunt from about October to May. Summertime, I go commercial fishing for salmon, setting at a yak tent. I've had a permit since I was 14.
In 2010, Jeremiah took a class that would literally change his life.
2010, I started getting into sea otters by this a man named John Boone and Monica Rydell came to Yakutat to do a sea otter class on skin sewing and putting up seal meat. I always hunted seals, but we never really did anything with the skins. And then John Boone started telling me all these things and started showing me all these things that he was making with them. And the market that's out there, that he was probably the first one to lay out for me the opportunity that was there that nobody was taking advantage of. It's seal and sea otters and the opportunity that only Alaska Natives have. And we're the smallest minority in the world, the only rights to take them. That puts us in a unique position in the world market. With that, we're not the only place in the world that's cold or loves fur, but we are the only place that has sea otters and that can sell them to anybody we want as long as you follow the rules. Everybody knows what we make out of them, the cuss bucks and the hats. And when I asked him, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me that everything that you make money at? He just looked me right in the eye and he goes, there's no way that either one of us can fill the market for these products. For the reason is that it's a protected species. In 1972, the Alaska Native Settlement Act made it that way. It's one of the few rights as Native Alaskans that we have. Sets us apart from everyone else in the world.
This is a really, really big deal for Jeremiah. He had always known about the Marine Mammal Protection Act, enacted in 1972, but he hadn't realized exactly how Alaska Natives benefit from this act. The seal otter population has grown in Southeast Alaska over the past several years, which is a major concern for fishermen in the region. The sea otters eat many species that the fishermen harvest, and some fishing areas have had to close due to overconsumption by sea otters in those parts. Subsistence harvesting of sea otters, then, benefits the local subsistence economy without severe environmental detriment. Sea otter pelts, at over 1 million hairs per square inch, are considered one of the highest quality furs in the world.
I don't think people think about how small the minority of Alaska Natives are in the world and the opportunities that we have. We don't utilize them enough to our advantage. I mean, the odds of seals, sea otters, walrus, polar bear in the fur world are, and it's all ours. The only people in the world that can take it. And sea otters are overrunning a lot of the state, and the feds and the state want to do something about it. And if the Alaska Native population doesn't do something about it, then they're going to change the rules. I mean, it's just the bottom line. There's too many fisheries that are being decreased or declined. The crab industry, these are multi-million dollar operations that are the gooey ducks and the sea cucumbers. that, I mean, they just can't support the amount of sea otters that there are out there. And the state or someone's going to change the rules on them if we're not careful. And the opportunity's there, you know, and there's a huge market there that we don't take advantage of it. And one of these big native corporations has to step in, or, I don't know, I see the rules changing if we don't do something about it. And we're going to lose that opportunity. We're the smallest minority there is by a huge standard. I mean, Russia invaded Alaska for sea otters. Just think about that. And they decimated them almost to extinction. That was 300 some years ago. And it was referred to as black gold before there was oil. And that's something that I don't think that's another word that I really don't want to use, but I can't think of a better way to describe it. It's exploited. Sure, we get it and we sell it to one another. We sell it native, there's no rules on it. But making it into an artwork that is life-lasting and selling it to millionaires and people that have never seen it before. I mean, you think of all the other cold places in the world that we're for all the time, Scandinavia and Eastern Russia, Greenland, you know, east side of America even, and it's cold there, and people want it, and we got it.
You're listening to Story 49 on KNOM Radio. This month's episode features Jeremiah James of Yakutat, Alaska. Seal and sea otter hunting is a sport, passion, and source of food and income for Jeremiah, and he makes sure that his daughter can hunt as well.
The coolest thing is probably watching my daughter grow up. She's 9 now. She's a real sweetheart. Just watching her grow and learn and pick things up. And she's gone with me everywhere, up and down the coast, little bush planes and boats and jet boats, and chasing bears. And there's a lot of bears where I live. And we'd practice with her, being a little kid. When we say let's go, she doesn't question let's go when we're out by ourselves and no one around. She just runs over there and then she looks what's wrong. My dad was really strict with me. For that purpose alone, there's things out there that you gotta be aware of. She shot her first seal 15th of October this year. She's 8 years old. We were out hunting for deer actually, because in Yakutat they opened deer season for under 18. It's called the youth hunt. I told her about this and, you know, she's excited to go. Especially since it was youth hunting, there was only going to be kids out there. And she's always in the boat all the time. And she just, in the last couple of years, just came out of, last year actually, came out of her shell. Big difference between second grade and third grade, I should say. Wanted to go to school for the first time. Got up, she gets up and wakes me up for school if I'm not up. That day she woke me up too. I was trying to sleep in, but she woke, shook me up and she says to me, are we going hunting or not? Oh, and I got up. So we went all day driving around and never seen any deer at all. And I wasn't gonna let her go hunting and not come back with something. So it was low tide and we went over to this place where I knew there'd be seals. And came around on the backside of it so they didn't know we were there. And we call it playing peekaboo because they come out of the water and they look around and they go back down and they come out of the water. And, well, when they're down, we take a couple yards, and then we think they're going to come up. We just kneel down and sit there and wait for them to pop up. And more than anything, not try to rush them or startle them or anything. They won't usually scurry off if you are just quiet. But well, we set her up on her nice rock and got her a nice rest and picked out ones we wanted and watched them. And hunting seals, you got to be patient. It's like hunting anything else. There's patience. Finally, she was ready to shoot, and she shot once. Then she shot the second time, and third time she shot, and she hit something. I could hear it hit. And I always think of Chicken Little when that happens, because I stood up and I go, "That's a hit." So stay here, I'm gonna go grab it. Hopped in my skiff and ran over there and grabbed it, and then came back. I was looking around for it, and she goes, "It's further." And then I seen it and went over there and got it, and then I came back to the beach, and there's still two little adolescent seals there. And I go, "You want to shoot those?" She goes, "I'm good. You can get them." And you know, I thought that was pretty cool, because she knows that I like hunting, and I like coming home with a fair amount of things, because I'm spending gas and money and time and everything else. So she is like, she just got it out of her system, and she's all, "You can go." She's been hunting with me so many times, she just knows to stand right behind me, and knows to stay out of where that gun is. And we call it the business end of things, like dogs or bears or guns or even cars, you know. Being around boats all the time, the phrase is stay out of the bite. Know, get your fingers out of there. And she's been everywhere with me. So we took them all and we gutted them right there on that reef, and strung them up in a train on a rope, and then drug them for a while. And it was getting dark, so we threw them all up in the boat and ran back to the harbor and let them sit for the night. First, see out her scarf a couple this spring. My daughter did it. She did it in a day. I was teaching the sea otter class for skin sewing, and I was kind of surprised that she was interested in it, because she was around it all the time. And then it's like she's seen all these other people interested in it and wanted to be a part of it, and then she just came through and was done in 6 hours. At 8 years old. I had tied up all of her needles for her and coached a long way, tacked it out, make sure the skin didn't walk, tied in the ends for her. She did the majority of the stitching. It was her first one, so I was pretty happy with her. She ended up selling that. Somebody called looking for a scarf, and she had it. She's the only one that had one at the time. So I asked her if I could sell it to her. And she said, "Well, how much am I gonna get for it?" She goes, "I know that you get $350 for it. So what's my take on it?" "Well, you're gonna get $300. I ended up selling it only for $250 because it was a friend of mine. But we had that conversation before they called, so she was still expecting her $300. And I said, "Well, I only sold it for $250. And she looks me straight in the face. She goes, "We talked about $300. And that's what I expected, because we talked about it." I mean, I was proud of her. She stuck to her guns. We had the conversation. We agreed on it. So she got her $300 just on principle of it. That's one thing that we really work on with her and her interactions with people is, and there's everything that's going on in your life, you have to stick to your word if you say you're going to do something, then follow through with it. That's something that I can attribute to my parents. They were on it. At least be honest with people. At least if you say something, you're gonna follow through. And if not, there better be a good reason why you didn't. My parents are pretty religious people, and I'm not really active in a religious way, but some things that, I mean, are just good practice. So just be honest with people is one of them.
Thank you to Jeremiah James of Yakutat, Alaska, for speaking with me about his involvement in seal and sea otter hunting and passing those skills down to future generations. You can view Jeremiah's seal and sea otter products through the Alaska Native Arts Gallery website. Story 49 is a production of KNOM Radio Mission. The music for this episode was provided by Sandro Kate, Kevin McLeod, Haggard Beat, and Mystery Mammal. If you would like to participate in Story 49, please call KNOM at 907-443-5221 or email story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your voice, your story, your Alaska.